grace to you in peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Every time we come to this Sunday in the three-year cycle, I just kind of walk around with a smile on my face. I'm a weirdo. I like these texts because they are a wonderful reminder for us about our own state and God's desire for us. It's hard for me not to see myself in these texts. And it's frankly hard for me not to see our system in these texts. In that wonderful reading from Ecclesiastes, "Vanity of vanities," says the teacher. And when we read through it, it says, "I, the teacher, when king over Israel, applied my mind to seek out all wisdom and do all things. And I created all of this good stuff and accumulated kingly treasures. And then as I came to the end of my life, I began to wonder." Maybe this has happened to some of you. What will happen to my stuff? That I, with all my wisdom and hard work, my cunning and good business practice, have accumulated on the earth, who's going to get it? Hopefully not my lazy video-playing nephew. Right? Have you ever known anyone who tried to control their wealth from beyond the grave? Of course you have. It's called a will and testament, right? And what's really cool is if you, I would love to make a career out of doing nothing but sitting around and reading people's wills. I think it would be fascinating, and probably you lawyers would go right ahead. But I bet people, I mean, you see, you read every once in a while about how someone will put some very odd thing in their will, in which they work very hard to make sure that the dollars and the stuff that they own remains well and firmly in their control, even while worms are crawling in and out. Why? Why would you care? Why would it make a bit of difference to you what happens to your stuff after you die? It's not like you're going to need it anymore. I mean, isn't that the whole point? I mean, at some level, we realize that in our death, we've been released from all of those things which held us in life, including, according to Paul, our greed. And that's what it comes down to. And we don't like to talk about it that way, but it's what it is. When we try to control something that really in the end shouldn't be ours to control, but is a gift, Paul says it's greed. And there's a lot of it in the world. And it isn't, as some folks I think would say, it isn't that wealth is bad. It's not that. The accumulation of goods in and of themselves is probably morally neutral. The problem is that we are not morally neutral, right? Your money sits in the bank doing its thing, and it doesn't care. It has no feeling. It has no mission. That's what's so interesting about stuff. Stuff in and of itself is just stuff. We're the ones with the moral compass. We're the ones with the call. So what's our call vis-a-vis wealth? In Ecclesiastes, there's this wonderful story in which he accumulates all of that wealth, and then he starts to worry about what dummy might get his stuff afterward. And if you go through the rest of Ecclesiastes, where you really end up with at the end of the story is, he says, it's all just vanity? And the answer is to let go. To quit having that stuff in the vault control you. Worry control your actions. Anxiety about that stuff in the vault, whether it is a house or antiques or whatever, to just let it go. It's all vanity. I experienced that when all of our stuff arrived in several pieces. Well, several pieces arrived in several pieces. And it was uncanny how, as I said a couple of weeks ago, none of the junk got broken. The good stuff got broken. And for me, it wasn't the monetary value. Frankly, most of what got broken was stuff that I'd made. And so I've been thinking this week, why did that bother me? Because in general, when something I make gets broken, I see it as an opportunity to make something else. Much to my wife's disgust. But I realized it was not the stuff itself that bothered me. I remembered sitting in my pottery studio throwing this piece and the prayers that went into it. I remember the teacher, John Nellermo, who taught me the skill of doing that craft. You see, it's not the pot that broke that bothered me. It's that its memory is shattered. For ancient peoples, the vessel contains the spirit. And when it's broken, the spirit is released. Maybe sometimes that's how we feel about our money and our stuff. And maybe that's why so often we have so much anxiety attached to the things we own or that own us. Maybe part of it is we know how much work it takes to get the money that we get. And so when it comes time to part with it, for whatever reason, we're not just parting with green stuff, bills, we're parting with our labor and our time and our effort. And so we choose carefully where it will go. I don't think that's greed. We call that stewardship. When Paul talks about greed, he talks about the fact that there are times that we hang on to stuff just to hang on to it, because we get our meaning from it. In this morning's paper, I actually got kind of a kick out of it. In this morning's paper, there was an article about how much money the CEOs of nonprofit healthcare organizations make in the state of Hawaii. Now, because I work for a nonprofit and have been in nonprofits for all my life, it's always sort of fun for me to see that, because the expectation is that if you work for a nonprofit, you must somehow be worth less than someone else, right? Anybody else work for nonprofits? Amen, sister. So what's interesting to me in all of that story is, I guarantee you there's going to be all these letters this week saying, are you kidding me? They make whatever it is, I don't know, $900,000, which is an amount that is so beyond my ken that I can't even imagine it. And yet at the same time, nobody blinks at the salary of the head of ExxonMobil. What's that? Well, God bless you then. You see, the issue is where you put your value. And you see, we value people in different ways, and we value money in different ways, and we value wealth in different ways. And the things that we really love and think are important, we buy storage for. And the rest of it, we either ignore or give away. I think what's called for in stewardship is to place value appropriately. And to give up not just what is extra, what we don't want to put in storage, right? But what's really important to us. There is a lightening of the soul that happens when we can begin to strip away, as Paul says, those things which are not important. To strip off, as Paul says, the old self of greed and need to own the whole world. The new self that he describes is a self of lightness and freedom. It's why I think Jesus says, you know, in the 12th chapter of Luke, don't worry, God will provide for what you need. And then he says, sell your possessions and give them to the poor. And then in Luke 19, give half of everything you own to the poor. Give everything that one has. It's why he sends his disciples out with just no extra cloak, no extra shoes, no nothing. Just go out into the world and proclaim the gospel. The worker deserves his wages. We've, in a sense, lost track of that because we're so focused on the accumulation of wealth as worth. Wealth as worth. That perhaps we have forgotten what God has already told us. That you are already worth everything. And that all the wealth in the world will not make you worth more. My father, for years, every morning, got up, had a beer, and would sit and figure out how much, if he died today, he was worth. I am not kidding you. And my mother would get up, and she would get her cup of coffee, and he would say, Pat, if I died today, you'd get whatever. My mom didn't care. And so, he turned 50, and his business was going well, and he got up, and he figured out what he was worth, and he died. And what did it matter in the end? How much money he had? It certainly didn't matter to any of us. And it probably shouldn't have mattered to him. And I wonder what it would have been like to take back all of those hours of figuring out what he was worth and given them to some greater effort. If we sit around figuring out what we're worth and how much we have and how many dollars we might have when we die, and certainly there's a certain prudence to taking care of your family and your life together, but when it becomes our obsession, it becomes our greed, and then we can no longer be stewards because we're lost in ourselves. Christ calls us out of ourselves to be like little children and give up not just our change, but to change. To be unafraid to give. To be unafraid to share. To be unafraid of life. And in that, we can begin a life of generosity in so many beautiful ways. In our giving of our time for the poor, for those in need, for friends, for children, for family. In giving of our money, which, you know, is maybe the hardest thing of all because that's the thing we work the hardest on. But maybe if we can give up some of that for the sake of the world, that those who are hungry might be fed and those who do not have housing might have a place to live. So that, not so much so that the, you know, CEOs of nonprofit hospitals can make another $900,000, but rather that those who need health care can receive what they need. The bottom line is that God has given us everything we have, and frankly, maybe more than we need. And the harder we try to take it to the grave, vanity of vanities. So here's the deal. And I'll finish with this. I've made a commitment to myself that I will not die wealthy. And it's not just because I'm a pastor. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to do that anyway. But when I say I don't want to die wealthy, what I mean by that is I don't want to die with a whole bunch of money in the bank, wondering whether or not my lazy daughter is going to marry some surfer somewhere and buy a shack on Maui and live the rest of her days on my wealth. I'm going to give it all away. But I don't want to wait till I die to do it. I think now is the time for me to be a steward. Now is the time to free myself of what wealth I have that holds me back, to share with the world the gifts of my time and my talents and my money, to give to you and this place life. Frankly, it beats the heck out of a slow death by smothering under my stuff. So, I've decided I'm not going to get any storage areas. I'm not going to rent another locker. I'm not even going to get another bank account. Instead, I want to follow Christ's command and live. And if living means giving, so be it. So I wonder for all of you and for the whole world what it would be if we could just unsmother ourselves from our greed and live. I think that's what Christ calls us to. Because one day it will be us and God looking at us and saying, "You fool, today your life is required of you." He's saying it now. Our life is required now. So give it up. It couldn't hurt anyway. It couldn't hurt to give it up. And by gum, it just might be kind of fun. Amen.